Thanks for coming up and thanks for hearing the children's chat today, and have a great time in Sunday school or children's church, whatever you want to call it.
Jesus time.
There you go, Jesus time. Thank you, Miss Elaine. Very good to be here today. Thank you again for inviting me to lead you folks in worship. It's so wonderful to see the scouts here. I myself, as I told them, I was a Girl Scout for many, many years. I was a Brownie and then a Girl Scout and a Senior Scout. And I told them how I learned how to turn over a canoe and then get back in it. Not that I could do that anymore, folks, but there was a day. So thanks again, Scouts, for being here. And thank you, leaders, for all that you do to help these boys grow into young men who are honest and faithful and true and skilled in many ways. So now we're going to come to a time where we listen to Scripture and reflect on it together. We want the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts as we're together. So can we pray together this prayer for illumination? I don't know that it's on the screen, so if you have a bulletin, you can pray it with me. If you don't have a bulletin, fine, just we'll be praying all together. Let us pray. Eternal God, source of all true wisdom, calm the troubled waters of our hearts. Still all other voices but your own, that we may hear and obey what you tell us in your word through the power of your Spirit. Amen. And so the Old Testament reading for today is from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, beginning with the first verse. Let's listen for God's word to us. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear. Come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now our second lesson for today is from the Gospel according to John. And just before this lesson we're going to hear, Jesus had been in Jerusalem. There was a festival, the Festival of Dedication. And he was there, and he was, of course, talking to the leaders, the Jewish leaders, and the leaders at the temple. And he was asked by them, are you the Messiah? And he said to them, I am God's son. And they didn't like that. So they picked up rocks to stone him. They were going to stone him, kill him. And he left immediately with his disciples, and he went to the other side of the Jordan River, some distance away. And so he was there with his disciples at the other side of the Jordan, teaching them, being with them, resting. And now we come to today's story. So again, let us listen for God's word to us. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus, of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet. And she said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, greatly disturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. May God bless to us this reading of his holy word, and to God's name be honor and glory and praise forever. Amen. Last year I went on a retreat, and while I was there, I learned about a saying of one of the early church fathers. One of the early church fathers, John Chrysostom, he lived in the 2nd century AD. And one of his phrases was this: "A comprehended God is no God. A comprehended God is no God. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." So true. The mystery of God's thoughts and God's ways. Still, we look at this lesson today, and let's think about the mystery of God's thoughts and God's ways. Jesus was late. He had been summoned to the house of a sick friend, and he was late. I don't know about you, but I can tend to be late. Anybody here ever been late? Yeah. You can get in a lot of trouble if you're late. And someone once told me, you know, it's really disrespectful of the other person who's waiting for you. Then again, we all have reasons. Sometimes you got to be late. But Jesus was late, and Mary and Martha, they were wondering, I'm sure, where is Jesus? We sent for him. He could heal, and we need him. But Jesus was so late that Lazarus died. And then he was even late to the funeral, 4 days late. His friend was dead and buried and decomposing. Now, have you ever felt like Jesus was late? Have you ever felt that God was late? Late in responding to a prayer about an illness you had or somebody you loved had, or late to help you with a family problem or a financial problem, or late to guide you with through a difficult decision, late to heal your broken heart? to answer your desperate prayer. Too late. Everyone thought Jesus was late except Jesus. Jesus delayed on purpose. He believed that his Father was working for good the whole time. Through the whole thing, he said, "This sickness will not end in death. It's for God's glory, so the Son of God may be glorified through it." For God's glory. Think about it. Jesus was surely given glory through this raising of Lazarus. People were astonished, shocked, thankful. They were overwhelmed with the mystery of it all, with wonder, with joy. Jesus was praised and his fame spread. People believed, it said. But eventually this led to the cross too. Yeah. If you read on in that chapter of John, you find out that this was what precipitated the Sanhedrin saying, "Hey, what's going on here with this fellow? We got to get rid of him. Everybody's going to be believing in him if this keeps up." And so it led to the cross. And today, we give glory to God for the cross, as do people around the world. You know, if Jesus has ever seemed late in responding to your call for help, think about it. Has this delay resulted in some way in you actually giving glory to God? Or maybe somebody else giving glory to God? In Romans 8:28, we read these famous words that many of you know and have heard. "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God." We know that all things work together for good. If Jesus has ever seemed late in responding, or even seems late today, God is still at work for good, for your good, to redeem your suffering, to redeem your suffering, to redeem your situation. This is always God's way. But another mystery, not just that Jesus was late, Jesus was crying. Jesus was crying. The Son of God was deeply moved. He was moved by Mary's weeping and the weeping of the mourners who were with her. He felt her grief and sadness. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus was greatly disturbed in his spirit. He began to weep. Our God is not unmoved by our sorrows and struggles. Human suffering disturbs God. Jesus is full of compassion. You know that word, compassion? It's from the Latin, pati, that second part of the word, passion, pati. It's from the Latin word pati, which means to suffer. And com, C-O-M, is the word with. To suffer with, compassion, to suffer with. This is what Jesus had. He had great compassion. He was suffering with. This is the heart of God. We could put a big heart right in the middle of that cross up there, because the heart of God is aching for our suffering. Now, when I was 10 years old, my grandfather died. And this was my first personal experience with the death of somebody that I was close to. Pop Rapp had a fatal heart attack. And two things stand out in my mind. That's my little granddaughter. I don't know if you saw me waving during the first hymn, but she just learned to wave, so she was waving to me. I had to wave back. What am I going to do? Anyway, to get back to my grandfather here. You know, two things really impressed me really kind of broke my heart as a young 10-year-old. My dad, this was his father, my dad was crying. I never saw my dad cry before. I always thought of him as this, you know, big, strong man, you know, and he could fix anything and, you know, nothing could hurt Dad, you know. And here he was crying, and I just wanted to comfort him. And then the next week, I went to my grandmother's house, and they wanted me to stay with her for a week, you know, to help her out, you know, to just be there. And she was crying. She was crying. She'd be crying on the phone talking to somebody, or she'd cry to me. Just, you know, just be okay, but then break into tears, you know? And I just wanted to comfort her. I always felt so good, like if we were cooking something together, and then I made her laugh, you know? I wanted to comfort her. Now, Jesus wants to do even more than that for us in our suffering and our sorrow. He's going to start weeping with us. He is weeping with us. There was a boy in my confirmation class. You know, he's about 13 years old. And I had the confirmation class memorize a Bible verse. Do any of you guys know a Bible verse? Have it memorized in your head? There's nothing wrong with memorizing. It's a good idea. It's good things to keep in your head. Anyway, I wanted everybody to pick a verse, you know, that means something to you. So this one boy came in and he picked this verse. It didn't say Jesus began crying. It said Jesus wept. That was the verse he picked. And he thought it was pretty funny, you know, because who could forget two words, right? And, you know, I was kind of annoyed, but, you know, now I look back and I think to myself, you know, that was a profound verse to pick, really. He didn't know how profound it was. Jesus wept. God knows. God knows all that has hurt us. And you know, crying is okay. Crying is okay. In fact, it's healing. They say tears are healing. Tears are a very healing thing. It's okay to cry. Because then we remember that we're not crying all by ourselves. Jesus is crying with us. Now, some of you read the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It's a pretty old book at this point. Anybody here read it by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life? Kind of wave at me. Yeah, okay, some people read it. So anyway, you may know then that Rick Warren and his wife Kay had a terrible tragedy in their life. Their son Matthew died from suicide. Devastating. Agonizing. So painful. But they also felt the compassionate heart of God. Anyway, about 1 year after this terrible death, Kay was so angry, her anger just boiled over. And she wrote on Facebook, "I have been shocked by some subtle and not so subtle comments indicating that perhaps I should be ready to move on." I have to tell you, the old Rick and Kay are gone. They're never coming back. We will never be the same again. Yeah. Yeah. It went viral. 3.75 million readers, 10,000 comments, because other people wrote back about their pain, whether it was because they and their family had experienced a suicide or just an illness or an accident, their pain. They wrote back, and Kay said, "I identify with them. I want to honor these people. I grieve with them. I weep with them." "All I can say," she wrote, "is this. My heart breaks for you." You can't say, "Oh, I know how you feel." No, you never know how somebody else feels, but you can say, my heart breaks for you. I have experienced grief and my heart aches for you. And I believe this is what God says to us, what Jesus said to Mary and Martha, what he says to you and me today. My heart breaks for you, whatever it is that you're facing. I have experienced grief and my heart aches for you. We are not alone. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Neither are our ways God's ways. What a mystery, though. God suffers with us. Yes, that's what the cross shows us. God suffers with us. Jesus knows terrible pain, desertion. We are not alone. How has the Lord let you know that the heart of God breaks for you? Think about it. Ask God to show you if you don't know. So the mysteries, the astonishing mysteries. Jesus was late, or was he? Jesus was weeping. And there is another most astonishing, perhaps of all, mystery. God gave new life. Jesus raised Lazarus up. He prayed to his father. He cried out. He said, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. His hands and his feet were bound with cloths. That's the way they used to do it. His head was covered with a cloth. And he said to the sisters and the crowd, unbind him and let him go. Unbind him and let him go. It's true that new life out of death is God's way. New life out of death is God's way. This is a mystery, yet it is God's pattern. For yesterday, for today, and for always. You know, I appreciate the words again of some of the people of faith from centuries ago. In the 14th century, a woman named Julian of Norwich in England was a mystic, an English mystic Christian. And she lived through the plague. And she stayed at a church, and people would come up to her window and get prayer from her. That was her job. That was her work, her calling. She lived through the Black Plague. Do you know how many people died in the Black Plague? Scholars don't know, but they say 75 million to maybe 200 million. So it was not a beautiful time in history at all. And she wrote in her book, Revelations of Divine Love, these words, which I believe are so true. Listen to them. If there is anywhere on earth where a lover of God is always kept safe, I know nothing of it, for it was not shown to me. But this was shown, that in falling and rising again, we are always kept in that same precious love. Not kept safe. For there is war in this world, famine, homelessness, abuse, disease, evil. There is suffering. Yet even when our hearts are breaking, God's steadfast love is holding us. This is the good news. Not that we will always be kept safe, but that in falling and rising, we are always kept in that same precious love. Jesus is calling us today out of our metaphorical tombs, right? The tomb of hopelessness, the tomb of guilt, the tomb of depression, the tomb of loss, the tomb of pain, the tomb of addiction, the tomb of fear or illness. God is calling us out. Jesus is calling us out from whatever keeps us from real, eternal life. Come out! God is offering new life, a new beginning. Take it. Amen. You know, this beautiful hymn we are about to sing reaffirms God's way. So let's stand to sing.